I want to look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and really picking up verses 1 to 7. And I've entitled the sermon or the talk, Learning Lessons by the Brook. And when we think about the prophet Elijah, we think about a prophet standing on Mount Carmel, challenging the prophets of Baal, or we think of him as a man of prayer, as mentioned in James chapter 5. But before Elijah could stand on Mount Carmel, he needed to sit by the brook. Before believers can exercise that mature faith and the ability to handle the Mount Carmels of life, there must be that maturing experience of the Kerith Ravine. These are lessons to be learnt that challenge and teach us to trust the Lord in all situations. And firstly, from the passage, I want to pick up obeying God's command and picking up verse 3. Leave here, turn eastwards, and hide in the Kerith Ravine east of the Jordan. Obeying God's command. God appears to have a keen sense of irony. Elijah prophesies a lengthy drought, and then God speaks again and sends him off to Kerith. Kerith was a brook that dries up quickly. Kerith means drought. He had prophesied the drought, and now he must head towards it. When God had told the prophet hide himself, he used a term that is more accurately translated as absent yourself. The same Hebrew word is used in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 49. May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. Elijah was commanded to depart from Samaria, to turn eastwards across the Jordan, and to hide there. The ravine Kerith emptied its waters into the Jordan from the mountains to the east. And the Hebrew word Kerith means a cutting, a place cut by some type of catastrophe, more likely by years of water flowing down the hills to the Jordan. When? Why was Elijah sent to such a place? More likely because it was a place of concealment, and the verb is used as a secret place of shelter, to follow God's instructions, to hide, to conceal himself. It would take a deliberate and decisive choice of obedience to God's command. Elijah might not have realized, but this experience at Kerith was part of the training that would happen on Carmel. It was there, in the quietness of Kerith, that his ears were trained to hear the voice of God. And sometimes, when we are living our lives out as his believers, when we are faced maybe with challenging situations, it's learning to come to the Lord to obey his command. Has God put you in the place of solitude today? Then be encouraged, for a Kerith is a prelude to a Carmel. Secondly, from the passage, I want to pick up God's promises are dependable. God's promises are dependable. Verse 4. You will drink from the brook. I have instructed the ravens to supply you with food. God promises to supply Elijah's need totally when he is by the brook. It is a wonderful truth to know. He never sends us anywhere to do anything without his presence or provision. The promise of Scripture is always certain, and God will meet your needs. Philippians 4 and verse 19, or Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. And maybe times in our lives, we find it hard going or we are struggling, but we come to a God that meets us at our point of need. And we need to remember that our careth always comes equipped with God's provision. Before the dawn ever breaks tomorrow, the Lord is already there. He has already placed what we need in the path that we will take. Just let me illustrate it. Mike and his family belong to a small Baptist church. One Sunday evening, the sermon was on giving, and a special offering was taken at the end of the sermon. The only money in Mike's wallet was a £50 note, which was supposed to buy a week's worth of groceries for his wife and five children and himself. However, in the move of faith, Mike put the £50 in the offering. Then, after the conclusion of the service, the family went to the car to go home. Within minutes, they joyfully returned to the church building and asked the minister to come outside and to see their miracle. Somehow skeptical, the pastor accompanied them outside to see their 20-year-old Ford Estate car. Peering through the windows, he saw that inside of the vehicle was filled with bags of groceries. Happy for the family, he remarked that someone had given them a huge blessing. You don't understand, Pastor Mike, he said. Before the service, I made sure that all the windows of the car were shut and all the doors locked. I have only the key to the vehicle. So it must have been the Lord, to which the pastor added, truly, God gives generously, and it's God's provision. And as we think about God's provision, we must realize that the supply might be as simple as here in Elijah's life, or lavish as experienced by Solomon. There may also be that provision, a test of one's faith, a test of devotion to the Lord. And as we come to him in confidence to know who he is and what he is doing, will we keep our values and priorities in line with loving and serving and putting the Lord first in our lives? There are two parts to the promise here to Elijah. Firstly, you shall drink from the brook. God chose to supply Elijah's need through the brook, not a river or a stream or even a well. It was a brook that would dry up soon, and Elijah knew that. Why is God's provision sometimes just barely enough? Why does God's supply sometimes dry up? The Lord wants us to learn to be content in whatever position we are in by first learning to rest in him by faith, that we might experience God's sufficiency and to learn that our greatest need is the Lord himself. Secondly, I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. We might so easily just read this very superficially. There is a spiritual principle of Philippians 4 and verse 19. Notice the way the Lord supplies Elijah's needs. He provided through natural means the brook, and through the supernatural means the ravens. We must never lose sight that our God is the God of all miracles. The ravens would bring bread and meat to Elijah. The Hebrew word for bread can refer to food in generally and could have included berries, fruits, nuts, etc. God could have rained bread from heaven as he did when the Israelites were in the wilderness. But instead, he chose to feed Elijah through the ravens. Our God is a God full of surprises. Birds are impossible to follow. And besides, what suspicion would stir by seeing some birds flying with food in their beaks? But also, the ravens must have been a source of encouragement to the lonely prophet in exile. Twice a day, he was reminded that God was supernaturally involved in every detail of his life. Also from the passage, I notice God's plan revealed. And we see this in verses 5 and 6. Notice that God was in control of the situation. We see Elijah's response in verse 5. So he did what the Lord told him. When God called Elijah, simply stepped out in faith and obeyed. That is the secret of surviving your Kerith experience. Coming to the place where you do not question God, but when he speaks, we respond by doing what we are told to do. Elijah had to learn that God is full of surprises. Ravens feed on rotten food generally and love to hang around the rubbish dump. Ravens were designated unclean according to the Jewish law in Leviticus chapter 11 and verses 13 to 15. And God was teaching his servant to trust him despite the Jewish law. All of this was ordered by the Lord to teach the prophet that God was in absolute control, that he was the Lord of all situations. Just let me illustrate it. One evening, a woman was driving home along the M5 when she noticed a lorry behind her, and that was driving uncomfortably close. She accelerated to gain some distance from the lorry. But when she went faster, the lorry went faster. Faster she drove, the faster the lorry went. Now frightened, she exited the M5, but the lorry stayed with her. The woman then turned up a main street, hoping to lose her pursuer in traffic. But the lorry went through a red light and continued the chase. Reaching to the point of panic, the woman pulled into a petrol station, ran out of the car and shouted, "Will someone help me?" The lorry driver jumped from the vehicle and ran towards the car, opened the back door and pulled out a man hiding in the back seat. The woman was running from the wrong person. From the huge vantage point in the lorry, the driver had spotted a would-be attacker in the woman's car. The chase was not his effort to harm her, but to save her, even at the cost of his own safety. Notice in verse 5, he went to the Kerith Ravine and stayed there. It was not for a day trip, but rather he intended to live there until the Lord said otherwise. This too is when we can start enjoying the Lord's victory in our own lives. regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in, we too must be prepared to stay the course and not to look for a means of escape until God directs us otherwise. And finally, the problem that occurred. I want to pick up verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Our translation of this verse can give us the impression that Elijah was simply a victim of some unfortunate circumstance that just happened. The word means it came to pass, to be. This was not a matter of unfortunate chance, but as seen previously, as part of God's plan. Remember how the Lord Jesus really speaks about God's involvement, control and concern for every detail of our lives. He taught us that God numbers even the hairs on our head, and that not a single sparrow falls to the ground without his knowledge and control. Sometime later, God deals with us, not simply sometime later on or after a while. God had a plan that included a divine provision by the brook for a specific number of days. This plan was unknown to Elijah and is unknown to us in our circumstances. But they are and always have been known to God for all eternity, and have been and will be a learning place and a blessing for both Elijah and us. Nothing means as much to a believer as the peace of knowing that God is in control. He is the God that sees the beginning from the end. At times, the Lord puts us in a place where we can do nothing but to trust him. We may not like the situation in which we find ourselves, but if we know that God is going to take care of us, then we can be satisfied anywhere with anything, no matter how difficult our circumstances are. We are in these situations for a reason. Are we prepared like Elijah to put our full weight and trust in the living Lord and to wait for his direction? Amen.